Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to join us, give us a nice little chat or something, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you should look for the brand new one there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E.
All right, Dan, so we jump in and we roll out the big baseball news of the day, as it appears. The Mets asked Matt Harvey to take a minor league assignment. He declined, so they designated him for assignment, meaning they have 10 days to either trade or release. The pitcher, once noted as the Dark Knight, looking at his stats here, Dan, he is the definition of how the mighty have fallen. He was a Cy Young contender in 2013. He missed all of 2014 with an injury. Looked like he was on his way back. 2015 had a good year, 13-8, a 2.71 ERA and 29 starts. Another injury crept up. He was 4-10 in 2016 with a 4.86 ERA, made 17 starts. Last year he was 5-7 with a 6.70 ERA. He made 18 starts, pitched in 19 games. This year, he's 0-2 with a 7 ERA. He started 4 games, but he's also made 4 relief appearances. Scott Boras came out today, Dan, and said part of his problem was the fact that he was moved to the bullpen. I understand Boras has to protect his clients, but that was probably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard somebody say. Because he wasn't very good as a starter either, so moving him to the bullpen didn't hurt him. Obviously, Dan, somebody's going to step up and give this chump another chance. Can he be fixed, or is it time to stick the fork in this guy?
You know who's going to come after him, don't you?
Theo? Oh, wait, sorry.
Why not? I mean, he's the kind of guy who likes to pick up guys for nothing. So, I'm sure they won't go for a trade, but if the Mets, actually release him, what harm would it be in paying him, league minimum for the Mets to cover the rest of that salary?
Well, the difficult thing may be Harvey has made it pretty clear that he will not go to the minors. So, a lot of clubs are going to want to send him down to, get a good look at him and see if they can fix him. The real humorous thing with this that I find interesting, and I would love to know if maybe, some stories are going to come out about Harvey being a little headstrong. The Mets hired Mickey Callaway, who was a fantastic pitching coach for the Indians and, gets a lot of credit for fixing guys like, I'm drawing a blank on his first name, Ubaldo Jimenez, who was just a complete joke until he got back to Cleveland. He had a lot of help in making Trevor Bauer into the starter he was. And, Josh Tomlin is having issues this season without Callaway there to help correct him. I've read some things about Harvey and how he's a little high strung and, he's that kind of guy. Do you think it's possible he was just too pigheaded to listen and didn't take the advice of somebody who may have known what he was talking about?
I think that could, have a huge play into it. And, you know, the one thing we always try to look at, and that's the financial part of it. You know, I know the Mets are coming out from underneath that Bernie Madoff crap, so they're in a better position than they were. You know, when we first started this podcast 6 years ago. But with, you know, relatively compared to what pitchers are getting paid or what he may have gotten paid had he been performing at a higher level years ago, they would only, you know, you figure months away from baseball, I don't know, you do the math, it's only about $5 million, you know, which is, you know, life-saving for you and I, but in terms of Major League Baseball contracts, you know, the Mets would have no problem eating it. I think that they possibly could get a trade partner for him, but, you know, where would you see him fitting best? You know, obviously we brought up the Cubs because, I mean, Theo's made situations like this where, you know, picking up a guy like Joe Nathan, you remember, what was it, 13 or 14 when he picked up a bunch of guys and was able to trade them away the next year to kind of get into where the rotation is now. But, you know, is there a team that would really want to take a risk on him, you know, for approximately $5 million to pick it up?
There are two teams whose pitching coaches – well, there's two teams with pitching coaches who have reputations of being able to fix guys like this. If you remember, a lot of people thought Francisco Liriano was going to wash out. He ended up in Pittsburgh, and, you know, I'm drawing a blank on who their pitching coach's name is. I want to say it's Ray Searidge. And Liriano had the best years of his career in a Pirates uniform. So, you know, he was really able to straighten him out. And, you know, when they dealt him to the Blue Jays last year, he really struggled. And then I believe he ended up going on to the Astros and was just a bullpen piece. I don't even know if he ended up pitching in the playoffs. And then oddly, you know, the other guy with this kind of reputation as a pitching coach is in Chicago, but it's on the other side of town, and that's Don Cooper, who has, you know, kind of been renowned for, you know, you bringing him these projects, and he kind of remakes them. You know, that was one of the big things why the Sox were so willing to take on James Shields and his big crappy contract, because, you know, they hoped Don Cooper could fix him, and while Shields has improved a little, he never really got back to the guy where he was big game James. You know, those are two teams just right off the top of my head, you know, with guys that, you know, are known for making these kind of repairs or, you know, getting these kind of tune-up guys. You know, again, I guess, like I said, the big question would be before, you know, is Harvey willing to listen? Because, you know, he's still hitting 90 on the gun. So he's got viable stuff, and you just got to kind of wonder what's wrong there. You know, I thought I heard somebody say that he's not throwing his breaking stuff. I thought I heard 3% of the time he's not throwing. I think it might have been his curveball. I think our buddy Ricky Keeler tweeted that out. So you got to wonder if maybe all the injuries he's accumulated, he's afraid of some of his pitches. And, it, you know, maybe it's just something as cutting down his repertoire a little bit that may give him the confidence to be a little better pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the guys Don Cooper couldn't really save or help out, you know, you brought up James Shields, but, you know, immediately when you brought that name up, all I could think of is Derek Holland, who, you know, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think he was anywhere near as egomaniac as maybe Matt Harvey is. You know, maybe that's wrong for me to say that, but you know, maybe the ego part of it is hard, like you said, to take advice or whatever. But you know, Holland was on a roll, and he seemed to be a guy, a young guy coming up that was going to continue to, you know, ascend into, you know, maybe, I don't know if you go as far as a Clayshaw. I always do that. Kershaw. Or even a Zach Greinke, but, you know, I thought he would definitely be, you know, en route to, you know, maintaining a number two status. And sadly, when he came here to Chicago, he really didn't do anything. You know, he went 7-14, which, you know, doesn't count or doesn't matter. But his ERA was up at 6.20. I don't even think this is going through the rest.
Yeah, so well, remember, he got derailed, you know, back, you know, he was rolling up until 2014 when the injury issues hit.
Yeah.
You know, and he only pitched in six games in 2014 and then just 10 in 2015. He's really never been the same since 2014. You know, you look at his numbers, the ERA has always been right around 5. You know, like even this year, he's at 5.70 with the Giants and his six starts there. You know, and you just wonder, you know, again, you just wonder mentally if maybe they don't trust the stuff, or maybe after all the injuries, it's just no longer there. You know, because there's always that time, you know, there's certain pitchers who could reach back for stuff, and you got to wonder if maybe Harvey just doesn't think he has it now, or Holland.
I can't agree with that part of it, only because of who his agent is. You know, not believing in yourself, I don't think you would ever go that far. But, I mean, and you know, that's kind of where I was going with it. It wasn't much of a knock on, like, Don Cooper couldn't, you know, you obviously get 9 out of 10, you're not going to save them all. But I just felt like
right.
the injury for Gerrit Collins, that, you know, it's gone down from there. And I'm kind of lumping Matt Harvey in that same boat. Well, that, and then, you know, he had a chance, but then you drafted him when he came back. So that was the second come, you know.
that was definitely the end of it. I guess I assume I have to, I probably owe him an apology letter, don't I? I'll have to,
yeah.
I'll have to write something up there for him and ship it off. So yeah, Matt, I am very sorry that I decided to make that move there and bring you on board. And then, yeah, that was what last year I think that was. So yeah, I probably had a lot to do with his demise. It might have been, it was either last year or 2 years ago, but yeah, I'm sure I had a lot to do with his demise. And, you know, just one of those things. It'll be interesting,
too.
You know, if they find a trade partner and if he's willing to go to the minors.
Yeah.
You know, because this, this could be big. I mean, if he's willing to go down and he gets himself righted and he can come back, say maybe he's got to stay in the minors till after the All-Star break. So he's got, you know, pretty much all of May, June, and then half of July to get himself right. If he comes back and has just a, not even a great, if he's just good for the second half of the season, he's going to go out on the free agent market, and somebody is probably going to throw, a pretty sizable chunk of money at him just off that half a season. You know, there's always that one team that's buying it. You know, so you wonder if, Boris will be able to talk some sense into him and, give him the opportunity to go do that. I mean, go get some work in AAA, see if you can figure out what's going on, and then come back up and see if you can get major league hitters out. If you can, you're looking at a good payday.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, being in the Mets organization might not be such a bad thing, because maybe he can go play with Tim Tebow, who I mean, let's be honest,
yeah,
whether he likes it or not, is definitely has way more name value, or more of a celebrity status than Matt Harvey would.
Now, yeah, now Harvey's just looked at the guy who was a bust in their system. You know, he falls in line with a lot of other, a lot of other Met pitchers. You know, they had this. Years ago, they were putting a rotation together that had, I want to say it was Paul Wilson, Bill Pulsifer, Jason Isringhausen, and the guy who threw the perfect game for the White Sox. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Philip Umber?
Yeah, they were going to anchor the Mets staff for years to come, kind of like what they have now. And all four of them got hurt and didn't amount to anything. The only one who was able to save his career was Isringhausen when he became a closer. So,
yeah.
Mets fans have went down this road before. But yeah, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, if or where he lands, or, you know, I would be interested to see if a team is willing to give up anything at all for him. You know, I'm wondering if it'll end up being a deal where it's like a player to be named later or cash considerations, something like that.
Yeah, I wish that I remembered this little bit of trivia. It was during a Cubs broadcast, I believe, but there might have been during a Giants or Dodgers broadcast late at night, where there was one guy in the history of Major League Baseball that was traded for the player to be named later, and he turned out to be that player. He was that bad.
So, yeah, well, there you go. So, but, you know, interestingly, Dan, while we're on pitchers here, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I grabbed a pitcher, our first pitcher in our money league, that he was pretty high on and thought he was going to have a bounce back season. I happened to use him last night in FanDuel, and let's face it, he just flat out sucked last night. I mean, he was complete garbage. And, you know, what I'm wondering, Dan, after looking at the stats and everything, is David Price still elite? You know, at one point in time, he was considered one of the top left-handed pitchers in the game. Is he still that guy to you, or now is he just kind of a, I don't know, he's the third guy you look at in a rotation, or, you know, depending on the team, maybe the fourth guy?
Yeah, well, you know, like I've told you before, I tend to not even look at my previous night's lineups if I don't have any extra money in my FanDuel account. And sadly, I went with Price also. And, you know, when he was down in Tampa, you know, maybe there is something to be said for, you know, what Joe and James had going on down there. Because, you know, once he left, he performed well in regular season ball. But, you know, when it came to the playoffs, he just didn't have anything. And now it's just, like you said, he's becoming more of an afterthought. When you think of the Boston Red Sox, you don't even – oh yeah, David Price is on that team. I forgot. You know, it's almost coming to that.
You know, because, yeah, you know, and, you know, I know I saw somebody try to punt it off on that.
2 points.
You know, yesterday's start was more on the bullpen, because after he left, they allowed three of his runners to score. All right, so if you take that off his tagline, Dan, he still gave up 6 runs in 3 2/3 innings. That's not very good. So, you know, I mean, his ERA jumped up to 5.11. You know, and I know the Rangers are a really good hitting offense, but, you know, a guy like Price should be able to go out there and control them. You know, he was pathetic against them. I don't know what excuse the Red Sox fans are going to use for him giving up 6 runs against Tampa Bay in the start before that in just 5 2/3 innings. You know, I mean, I know there's always a reason why this happens. I get it. It's never the pitcher's fault. It's, you know, somebody else's deal. But, yeah, just kind of, you know, kind of starting to look at him more and more. I know they're on the hook for quite a bit of money for quite a few years. And I'm just not sure he should be considered elite anymore.
No, I don't think so either.
So, you know, and I know, like, you know, last year, he was pretty good last year, and I think that's what gave Mr. Fantasy some hope. You know, he bounced back, he made 11 starts, he pitched in 16 games, and he ended up going 6-3 with that 3.38 ERA. You know, his strikeouts were, you know, about 2.5 times his walks, which is a good number. Sadly, this year it's 50-50, and that just sucks. But you know, and I know, okay, you're going to say, well, it's just 7 starts, but, you know, I think it's time to kind of start questioning this guy. I mean, not just the playoff failures, but, you know, as a whole, is he going to be, you know, anything?
Well, and don't forget, so, we're on season number 10. So we're not talking about a young kid coming up, you know, 2 years into the big show. We're talking about a seasoned veteran who, at, you know, 2012 with a Tampa Bay team went 20-5. You know, not to mention working in Detroit, going to Detroit and Toronto and mixing up and going 18-5. But, you know, like you said, 2016, he was 17-9. And I believe the injury bug got him last year. But, you know, as times progress, it's not getting any better.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you know, this is a team that, you know, a lot of people believe can contend or, you know, even win a World Series. So, you know, you start looking at the rotation. Well, Chris Sale is obviously Chris Sale. You know, his ERA is 2.14. Rick Porcello's off to a good start. He's at 2.23. You know, Pomerantz has been a little rocky, but he's only made 3 starts. He's coming back from the injury. So, I think you got to let him slide a little there and let him make a few more starts. Eduardo Rodriguez, we've been waiting on for a while. It slowly but surely, it just looks like he's not going to work out. Now I believe he's hurt again. You know, his ERA is 4.78, but then you dish Price in there at 5.11 after 7 starts. And, you know, you got to start to question, once you get past Sale and Porcello, are there any really threats in this rotation for Boston to close out a series? You know, I mean, because when it comes playoff time, you're going to need more than just those 2 guys. They can't start every other game. So can they, you know, is there somebody there? Maybe they're the team that signs Matt Harvey, hoping they can get something out of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see that happening. I was going to say they could rely on 2 pitchers if they go into a NBA-style playoff, but we know that's not feasible. Contract-wise, you know, I was going to say, do you think there's a possibility that they can move him? But seeing that he's going to make $31 million next year and $32 million in 2020, 21, and 22, I think it's safe to say that they are locked in with him until at least 2021.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure, I mean, I help. Yeah, who the hell would take on, you know, that contract? You know, I know the Sox do have a prospect hanging around. Believe it or not, it's actually not one of these 18 or 19-year-old kids that they like to throw. They have a left-hander named Jalen, I'm going to guess this is Beeks. He's 24. So I'm wondering, you know, maybe he gets a peek here. You know, with Rodriguez going down, I don't know if they called anybody up. So, you know, maybe he's a possibility. You know, what's it say here? It looks like he was a 2014 draft pick. So maybe he gets a look. He's pitching in Pawtucket, and that's AAA for them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he's the guy who gets a call and – you know, we see him, but yeah, you wonder, you know, and I know they still have Brian Johnson. He's another guy who just, I'm guessing by now, he's just probably a bust. He was one of their first picks back in 2012, and it just hasn't worked out for him. You know, one of their international signings was Hector Velasquez. He's 29, and I don't think he's pitched at the big league level. So you wonder if you know, maybe we start to see some of these guys, and sooner or later, you know, Price is just the 5th guy. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, hey, it's David Price's turn to pitch. Okay, we're on the 5th guy. You know, because if these guys are talented, I mean, somebody's going to get squeezed out.
They don't have Mark Pryor still in their system, or?
No, I think he's, I believe he's the Dodgers bullpen coach this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I do remember hearing that he's working. You know, not to throw you completely off track, I did a little digging. You know, it wasn't actually too hard to do this digging, though. With Ichiro going into the front office, that means that he is still able to go ahead and try to play again next season with, you know, whoever team decides to sign him.
Better play next year. That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, kind of going back to the Red Sox, I think you're right, because, I mean, there's no guarantees when you obviously their biggest matchup is first and foremost going to be the Yankees. And, you know, how do they look matched up against them? You know, I know you never know what you're going to get or how long CeCe's going to continue to kind of perform, but he did pretty well last year, and I think he still has enough to make it through this season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you start to look, and I mean, it's really looking like, you know, Severino is going to be a really true number one for the Yankees. You know, Tanaka, we've talked about over and over that, you know, that arm is allegedly falling off, but yet it still seems to hang on. You know, Jordan Montgomery has pitched really well this year, but again, he just can't seem to stay healthy. Say what you want about CeCe in five starts, his ERA is 171. So I think anybody will take that. I mean, the guy who's struggling is Sonny Gray, but, you know, he's been elite before, and you wonder if maybe he'll just get it back with a little work. You know, there doesn't seem to be an injury. So, I mean, it, you know, if you can run these guys out there, you know, while Sale would be the best pitcher out of the entire group, the Yankees could compete with everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just to get out of your own division. I mean, you know, if you run into Houston in a playoff matchup, I mean, we fall into a whole nother category, because, you know, there you're talking about a team where Dallas Keuchel may be the third best pitcher this year, and that's just frightening.
Well, I clicked out. Who's the best pitcher this year?
I said you run into the Astros where Dallas Keuchel could be the third best pitcher on their team this year. imagine something like that. So
it is. That's pretty frightening.
You know, because, yeah, I mean, with the way Verlander and Cole have thrown the ball, you got to figure they're 1-2. You know, I know Charlie Morton has been good, but I'm not taking him over Keuchel, you know, even though his numbers are better. You know, I mean, Keuchel's got, you know, I would take Keuchel third. But, yeah, I mean, that's scary to run into. You know, you're in a 7-game series, and it's like, well, here's Justin Verlander game one. Oh, great, here we go. Oh, boy, well, we're going to follow up with Gerrit Cole, who looks like he finally found that ace stuff he was supposed to have in Pittsburgh. Oh, and then just for fun, we're going to put Dallas Keuchel in the third game. Hey, thanks, guys. I'm just going to go home now. You know, I don't get it. But, you know, I mean, you run Morton out four, and McCullers can keep you in games. Even though I'm not a fan, I know Mr. Fantasy is. Yeah, you may not, you know, you can just set it all up where Verlander may just pitch once a series unless you go, you know, somehow somebody else falters and you go 6 or 7 games. So, yeah, you know, that's the issues you run into. You know, I mean, I think out of those three teams, the Red Sox have the third worst, you know, the third starting rotation. You know, I mean, I would probably take the Astros over the Yankees, but I'm taking the Yankees over the Red Sox, because all they have is Chris Sale, who can compete with any of those guys.
Yeah, but none of them teams compare to the Angels.
Yeah, you know, how does Ohtani pitch in the playoffs? How do they work that out?
I don't know. I mean, you really only need one start out of them. You know, when Mike Trout got bumped down to number two, wouldn't he technically be number three? Because Ohtani is technically two players in one. Sorry, that was really bad. That was really bad.
Yeah, well, you notice that talk has stopped now that all the Ohtani stuff kind of went downhill. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the focus right now is Pujols and this 3,000th hit. Sorry, Albert. I don't know why I didn't feel it. So, you know, maybe this weekend.
which he will get tonight, hopefully. So.
Yeah. Which I, you know, honestly, I'm thinking my new strategy for the home run derby thing we got going on, challenge with FanDuel, is I'm just going to go and pick Pujols, Trout, and Upton, and then rotate Ohtani in there. So that's it. That's the only three guys I'm going to pick. You know, well, too bad you can't get two of them in there, because then I would just pick Mookie Betts three times.
Yeah, can you do that? You know, oh. So I had a new strategy today. I decided that from now on, I think I'm taking two of three ex-Cubs. So that's the new deal. So tonight I'm going with Gleyber to homer. I'm going with Starlin Castro to homer, and my third guy is Jose Perella. So
I don't remember Perella.
He's the Padres' leadoff hitter. So.
Oh, okay. Well, my strategy was almost take all Angels, but I only took one, Mike Trout, that is. And then I went with Mookie Betts and Ozzie Albies.
Woohoo! So, yeah, you know, so, for whatever reason, you know, like, I mean, looking at home runs, you know, it's like we seem to pick guys that you would think would hit home runs. And for whatever reason, they just don't. I mean, like, I took the big goose egg again last night. You know, you only needed three homers to money. You know, and, like, I had Cole Calhoun, Trey Mancini, and Chris Davis. One of the winners had Mookie Betts, Nomar Mazara, and Nelson Cruz. I had Nelson Cruz a couple days ago. He didn't homer for me.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even the fact that, you know, we're picking guy, you know, I'm wondering how the hell do you decide to pick him when they pick, you know, some of these guys, because so a lot of times, yeah, you know, I'm picking these guys who should be hitting bombs off of pitchers with, you know, a 6 ERA, and then we come in, you know, wake up the next morning and, you know, all three batters went up against really bad pitchers,
yeah,
but neither of them hit a home run, and, you know, their team lost by like 2 points in a small deficit, you know, small run game. So I don't know. It's just so hard to figure out who to choose and when.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did still have the curse. You know, like the Brewers had that series in Cincinnati. So I always tried to use a Brewer, figuring Cincinnati is a good place to homer in. And of course, the day I used Ryan Braun, he left the game early with an injury. So I still have that going for me. I can pick guys who get hurt in games. So I don't know how I have that knack or whatever it is, but man, I can just, if I put a guy in my lineup, there's a good chance he's leaving early hurt. So, you know, it's just one of those fun talents that I have, I guess you could say. But the rest of my FanDuel lineup tonight, my actual daily lineup today, I'm going with the strategy. I was reading some guys who say it's a good day to do the what you would describe as stars and scrubs for your lineup today. So I took three really high priced guys. And then I'm just kind of filling in with other guys who I think have good matchups. And I really like the Dodgers matchups today, so I ended up with four of them in my lineup, so they better hit tonight in Mexico. We roll out. I actually start with Garrett Cole, who does cost me $11,000, but, you know, he's been one of the top guys. So I'm rolling Garrett Cole out to start as my pitcher. Austin Barnes starts my Dodger rally here. He's my catcher. He's hitting fifth tonight, $2,100. Second base, I'm going with Eric Sogard of the Brewers. He's hitting seventh for them tonight. He cost me $2,000. Third base, I'm going with Kiki, so Dan's guy better come through for me, Kiki Hernandez. He's hitting second for the Dodgers tonight, cost me $2,400. My next Dodger is Chris Taylor at shortstop. He's leading off for them, cost me $3,100. Here's where the money rolls out. My outfield starts with Giancarlo Stanton, who's hitting cleanup for the Yankees tonight, $4,900. Back to the Yankees again. I got Aaron Judge for $4,600. He's hitting second for them tonight. My outfield rounds out with Gerardo Parra, who's hitting second for the Rockies tonight. Cost me $2,300. And then my fourth and final Dodger is Matt Kemp, who cost me $2,500, and he's hitting third for them tonight. So just a quick recap. Gerrit Cole, the pitcher. Austin Barnes in the catcher first base slot. Eric Sogard at second. Kiki Hernandez at third. Chris Taylor at short. The outfield is Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Gerardo Parra. And my utility guy is Matt Kemp. So there you go. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, how do you, I've been meaning to ask you, but I just, I don't know why it slips my mind every day. How do you like the change with FanDuel and pretty much eliminating the catcher position and opening up, you know, catcher first base and then throwing in that utility?
Yeah, you know, the difficult part is I really believe, with the exception of just a few catchers, you know, the Gary Sanchez's, the Wilson Contreras's, they've really eliminated catchers from being used unless you need to save money. Because, yeah. I mean, there's no reason to take a Jose Lobatone, so to speak, over a guy like Logan Morrison, who's going to have about the same price tag, where, you know, Morrison is, a little better hitter. He's got a much better chance of homering. So, I don't know. I kind of wish they would have explained why they did it, but they never really do. Now, on the other hand, I do like the utility ad. I don't believe we had that last year, or maybe it was another sport. But I do like that. But, yeah, I'm just not – I don't know if I'm sold on the catcher thing yet. And, I get it. It's tough to pick them, and it's hard to find one that scores. Again, unless you're looking at names like Sanchez, Posey, or Contreras. So, I can see why they did it, but I don't know,
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you can't – simply pick Sanchez or Posey every single night. Catcher.
Right. So. That's the thing. Or, you got to hope, it's weird because I know, Wilson Ramos is on an 11 game hitting streak and, he's just been a monster over those 11 games. But again, do you try to jump on a guy like that? I mean, at this point, maybe you do that to try to save some money. Or do you go with a comparable first baseman like, a Justin Bour who could hit two bombs and, drive in eight runs? And, they would be about the same price. And, it's just – I'm not sure if it – there's really a reason to use catchers. Even though I've had some success, like I used Alex Avila one night or Avila or however we're pronouncing it this year, and he ended up racking up 31 points for me. So you can find him, but to be fair, I believe he was playing first base that day, just to throw that in. So, yeah, I guess it just depends who you are and how you're putting your lineup together. But I have Austin Barnes in my lineup tonight. While he is listed as a catcher, he's actually playing second for the Dodgers tonight. So... however you want to look at it, he's a catcher for me, but a second baseman for his team. So, all right, well, let's look at the schedule tonight. We got a full slate of games here. So let's see what's going on and who's doing what. A couple of these games should be getting underway. Why did my computer do that to me? Come on, back to the top here, boys. All right, we got the Cleveland Indians at the New York Yankees. It's Josh Tomlin against CeCe Sabathia. Over there, we got the Philadelphia Phillies at the Washington Nationals. Nick Pivetta and Gio Gonzalez gets the starts there. The Miami Marlins are at the Cincinnati Reds. Dance guy Wei Ying Chin is getting the start for the Marlins. Sal Romano will go for the Reds. The Colorado Rockies are at the New York Mets. German Marquez for the Rockies and Zach Wheeler for the Mets. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Tampa Bay Rays. J.A. Hopp for the Jays and Andrew Kitteridge for the Rays. The San Francisco Giants are at the Atlanta Braves. It's Chris Stratton for the Giants and Mike Fulton-Nawitz for the Braves. The Boston Red Sox are at the Texas Rangers. We got Rick Porcello for the Sox and Bartolo Colon for the Rangers. The Pittsburgh Pirates are at the Milwaukee Brewers. Nick Kingman getting another start for the Pirates tonight, and Junior Guerrero on the hill for the Brewers. The Minnesota Twins are at the Chicago White Sox. Jose Berrios starts for the Twins, and the White Sox go with Carson Fulmer. The Detroit Tigers are at the Kansas City Royals. We got Francisco Liriano for the Tigers and Ian Kennedy for the Royals. The Chicago Cubs are at the St. Louis Cardinals. We got Jose Quintana for the Cubs tonight against Miles Mikolas for the Cardinals. The Dodgers are at the, or the Los Angeles Dodgers are at the San Diego Padres. This game is actually being played in Mexico. It's Walker Buehler for the Dodgers against Joey Lucchesi. No, there's no K, so it'll be Lucchesi for the Padres. The Houston Astros are at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Garrett Cole for the Astros. Chris Medlin making his season debut for the Diamondbacks. The Baltimore Orioles at the Oakland A's. We got Andrew Cashner for the Orioles and Daniel Megden for the A's. And the night wraps up with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at the Seattle Mariners. Garrett Richards for the Angels and Mike Leake gets to go for the Mariners tonight. So there you go. You're all caught up. And I believe the Dodgers-Padre game is being carried by MLB Network. If you're looking for it locally or physically or mentally or however you're looking for the game. So you'll have to check that out. And I did find it interesting while I was getting the schedule off the Mickey Mouse website, and they actually have something up that's called an Ohtani tracker. Yeah. So apparently, even though I thought the bloom was kind of off the rose, they're still tracking this stud. And I guess they're going to follow him all year. I don't know what's going on there. So, but, yeah, that's apparently the big deal there. So if you want to jump along and see what's going on there, man, you are all in to head out and see what's going on. And, you know, I didn't look. I got to jump on and check it out. But I know the Braves called up Jose Bautista. And I'm very interested to know if he's in their starting lineup. So I'm going to see if I can, you know, I usually grab the lineups off baseballpress.com. They put them up pretty quickly. So I want to see, where are the Braves tonight? Come on, guys. Here we go. Yeah, there you go. Jose Bautista batting fifth, playing third base for the Braves tonight. I can't remember when the last time he played third base was, but we're gonna get to see him do it tonight, so it will be kind of interesting to see how that goes down. But I don't know if he's anybody you would look to jump in on for fantasy tonight, or you know yearly. I doubt it. I don't think I could deal with it. You know, there we go. You know, they are facing the Giants tonight. It's Chris Stratton going for the Giants. So, I don't know. You think it's a good matchup? Maybe it works for you. Oh, let's see if we can stop doing that now. Oh, sorry about that. I've been fighting this damn cold all week, and every time I seem to be getting to the end of it, I end up getting like really bad congestion and stuff. I'm sure you've enjoyed my voice all week. But yeah, you know, I'd love to know how you feel about Bautista. You know, would you hunt him down and pick him up in your league, or is, you know, you think he's a good daily play? You know, shoot us an email, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and you know, we'll kind of compare and, you know, see how it works out. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't been on the Bautista bandwagon in a while. You know, he just, again, he's another one of those. You know, kind of, you know, I guess if he hits it, he's going to do something for you, but there's just too many strikeouts there. And, you know, the numbers really, really haven't been, you know, what they were at, you know, that one point when he was the big 50 plus home run hitter. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, maybe if he becomes a value, you look at him at a, as a daily guy. If you get a, you know, you get a good matchup, possibly you could find a spot for him. So, you know, maybe it's something to keep an eye on, but yeah, I definitely don't think I would invest on a yearly basis with him. I think that could be a little too big of a jump there. So we'll have, you know, I would kind of take a little bit of a wait and see approach when it comes to that with him. But you know, that is just me. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. Maybe you like him better than that, or you know, those things. I know, and again, obviously, you know, I can be clueless when it comes to these things. So you don't have to take my advice, but take a look at him. I know, you know, it's a nice ad for the Braves. Interestingly, you know, they've been a pretty hot team, off to a little better start than I think people expected. So, you know, maybe he's a big positive for them. I really don't know. So, you know, just kind of check it out and see what goes on. So we'll have to ask Dan. Dan is back if he went out. Did you pick up Jose Bautista?
No. I wonder if he still follows me on Twitter. Now I know, you know, we both know MLB does a free game, MLB.tv, that is, does a free game of the day. I didn't look offhand, and but regardless, that wasn't the point of my thing. Is there a game that you're looking at that you're maybe tuning into or going out of your way a little bit more to kind of jump on and watch? Their matchup.
I am a little interested to kind of see what the stadium looks like in Mexico, you know, for Dodgers Padres. But game wise, I don't know if I'm all in on, you know, the matchup, so to speak, because you know, the Dodgers have been scuffling and the Padres still aren't quite you know, quite there. You know, I would love to, you know, say Houston and Arizona, but with Chris Medlin making a start for the Diamondbacks, you know, he's, you know, been through a host of injuries. This is his season debut. You know, if it was a little better pitching matchup, I might be a little more into that one. But, you know, not to be the homer or anything, but I think if I had to pick one, you know, it would be Cardinals Cubs. You know, it's a nice marquee matchup. You know, I've always liked Jose Quintana, you know, even when he was with the White Sox. And Mikolas has pitched really well for the Cardinals out of the gate this year coming back from Japan. You know, the Cubs right now just aren't hitting. So it would be interesting to see if they can get it going against a division rival. You know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of fun pitchers that I would like to see. You know, Bartolo's going. That's always fun. You know, Berrios looks like he's turning into an ace for the Twins. He would be cool to watch. You know, Walker Buehler's getting the start for the Dodgers. You know, he's supposed to be a big-time prospect. So, you know, there are some names. Of course, Gerrit Cole, who's been fantastic. But, yeah, if I had to single out a game tonight, I would probably go Cardinals-Cubs.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's definitely, wrong time. Homer pick, but at the same time, I mean, I know it's not the Red Sox Yankees, but it is one of the biggest, oldest baseball rivalries to begin with. You know, it's, you know, Red Sox, Yanks, Dodgers, Giants, and then, of course, the Cubs and the Cardinals. They've got, you know, the big rivalries between each, you know, East, West, and Central. But, you know, not only that, I mean, I know it's only May, or it's just May. But, you know, this is, you know, two teams kind of battling it out for first place. And when I looked this morning, I believe it was Cardinals sitting at 17-12 and the Cubs sitting at 16-12. I believe that constitutes as half a game.
You know, of course, one of my favorite pastimes, of course, with the Cubs is just to see how Joe Maddon is going to screw up the lineup. and tonight it appears that Ben Zobrist gets to be the leadoff guy. while the no longer hot-hitting Alberto Almora has been dropped to sixth. And I found it interesting that as soon as Madden gave Almora a day off, he stopped hitting. So that was a whole bunch of stupidity there on Madden's part because he didn't ride the hot player. And I know he's going to tell you, well, you know, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Well, that's BS because every manager believes in it, and you run the hot player out there until he is no longer the hot player. Especially on a team that's struggling to hit. So that was incredibly stupid on his part, but, you know, that's to be expected. So, and I did notice the Cardinals loaded up with right-handers tonight against Quintana. Matt Carpenter is the only lefty getting a start. Everybody else will hit from the right side, including Dexter Fowler, who's the switch hitter.
Oh, I always forget he's a switch hitter.
Yeah. So, you know, that could be, you know, could be interesting. I am looking. I want to see what kind of lineup the Diamondbacks put together to go against Cole, but it doesn't look like they did. About the only thing different they did is Dyson's going to get the start being the lefty instead of Souza against the tough right-handed pitcher. Other than that, everything is pretty much the same for them. And your guy, Alex, how are we pronouncing it? Avila now? That's how he's going? He's going to catch tonight. So you can get him in your FanDuel lineup.
Oh, no, you already did that. You love Avila.
No, I don't have him. I don't have him today. He's all yours today. So.
Now, I don't know if you
but
saw
But, yeah, I mean,
that
was, there, was there a game you liked? Since you asked me, was there a game you liked? Or did I steal your game?
Yeah, you pretty much stole my game. But, you know, of course, come 9 o'clock or once the Cubs game is over, I'll be switching to, you know, probably one of the West Coasters. Depends on who's playing. Is there any hockey on tonight? Are the Capitals playing tonight or are they waiting until tomorrow? I don't know if
Well, the Capitals lost last night, so I'm assuming they are off today. Yeah, that was last night. Let me jump on and pull up the NHL schedule. There is hockey. The Predators did win, but the Capitals lost. So I kind of split those games. I was really hoping Washington would go up 3-1, but now that series is tied 2-2 with the Penguins, and the Predators, even their series with the Jets 2-2, that's turned out to be a little tougher series than I thought for the Preds. But tonight you have Tampa Bay at Boston. Tampa Bay's up 2-1 in that series. And then the night game is San Jose at Vegas. And that series is tied 2-2. So, you know, you get to see that tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the one I'll try to tune into. I'm still mad at Stamkos. Well, you know, maybe because we didn't do the fantasy league this year, he actually played. Because I drafted him 2 years in a row and he got hurt both seasons. But you know, bouncing back to baseball.
And oddly, I had him the year before. I had him the year before that, and he was a stud. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go figure. I was gonna say, but I won. But that was the basketball league. But bouncing back to baseball, and I had to bring this one up. I saw either yesterday or the day before. So Chicago, we have this former lawyer who dropped out of law, practicing law to start his own blog. Which is, you know, wildly successful, so to speak, because I guess that's all he does now. I forgot the name of it, something with bleachers. But, you know, he posted an article out there, and this one just killed me, and I didn't do anything but laugh at the post. With the issue that Yu Darvish has had, is it time to call up Chris Jimenez from the minors and to save Yu Darvish? And I still don't. I just don't get it. Now, you're playing, and while everyone plays off the whole David Ross, John Lester thing, there's a huge difference there. These guys actually played together for multiple seasons. They won a championship together. Jimenez caught like 12 games for Yu Darvish. So what difference would it really make, if any?
You know, I don't know. You know, we talked about that when the signing happened. Yeah, you know, because there were people just making a gigantic deal out of the fact that, oh, yeah, well, you know, he's got a history catching Yu Darvish. He's got a 12-game history of catching Yu Darvish. What does that, is that really important? You know what I mean? I think Caratini's doing a pretty good job. Why do you want to ship him off, you know, in his role?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, obviously, Schwarber's never going back behind the plate. And with Wilson Contreras and Caratini, what the hell, why would you want to bring up a third catcher?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I don't think you would. I think you would, you know, you would have to send Caratini down to bring up Jimenez. You know, and I mean, Jimenez has never really been an offensive threat. Like here, he's played 19 games for Iowa. He's hitting 207.
But he's a pitch framer.
So,
sorry.
Now the bandwagon that Schomburg Stu is on is he believes the Cubs need to call up this, I'm guessing it's Adbert Alzole, who's made three starts down there and is 2-1 with a 2.12 ERA. See, instead of like the blog guy, he believes this is the route the Cubs need to go, and he's the guy to take Darvish's spot in the rotation while they either trade him, release him, or just use him out of the bullpen. So,
okay. Remember how much of an uproar Chicago Cubs fans went when they put Zambrano in the bullpen? You can't have a guy making that much money in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And he didn't make anywhere near Darvish. And you're telling me that's hilarious. That's a good one. Put Darvish in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, I thought the even funnier one was release him. Like the Cubs are going to eat $120 million. Dollars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. But, you know, this is how Cubs fans get.
They could just
They
could just do a straight-up trade with Boston, right? Price for you.
Right, for David. Yeah. So, and I'm sure fans of all teams get like this, but, I notice Cubs fans especially get like this when guys, you know, struggle. Because, like, I've had guys at work tell me that it was stupid they took Darvish over Arrieta after listening to them all winter about how they didn't want Arrieta back. So, it's what you get. You know, it's just part of their fandom or however you want to look at it. That's just kind of how it goes. And it's like, oh, great. Okay, so now we don't want him is what you're saying. We want Jake back. Maybe the Phillies will trade.
Well, you know, like I said this before, and I'll say it again. The positive in the Yu Darvish situation it definitely lies in Jason Hayward's hands because now a lot of the attention's taken off of him and he could just go out there and play and not have to worry about what the fans and the media are saying.
So I did want to remind you, Dan, we didn't really get to it, but you can watch basketball tonight too. We have the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're up 2-0 in that series. And then Houston is at Utah. And that series is actually tied one game apiece. So if you're into the NBA. But all right, right at the buzzer there, Dan, I get that in. And we're out of here. Dan is going to take the weekend off. I will be the one who gets to come back Sunday for 2 big hours with Mr. Fantasy. So meet us here at 10 a.m. and we will be here. While we're away, though, sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog going up tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to stalk us. We have no problem with that. As always, big thanks for coming on here and listening to us live. But remember, you can go over to TuneIn.com and listen to the podcast anytime.